ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 15, Text Number 30. Chapter entitled Description of Mystic Yoga Perfections, Text 30. Madvibhutir Abhidhyayan Shri Vatsastra Vibhushitaha Dvajata Patra Vyajanai Sa Bhaved Aparajitaha Madvibhutir Abhidhyayan Shri Vatsastra Vibhushitaha Dvajata Patra Vyajanai Sabhaved Aparajitaha Madvibhutir Abhidhyayan Shri Vatsastra Vibhushitaha Dvajata Patra Vyajanai Sabhaved Aparajita Mat, my, Vibhuti, opulent incarnations, Abhidhyayan, meditating upon, Shri Vatsa, with the Lord Shri Vatsa opulence, Astra, and weapons, Vibhushitaha, decorated, Dvaja, with flags, Atapatra, with ceremonial umbrellas, Vyajanai, and different types of fans. Saha, he, the devotee yogi, Bhavet, becomes Aparajita, unconquerable by others. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My devotee becomes unconquerable by meditating on my opulent incarnations, which are decorated with Sri Vatsa and various weapons, and are endowed with imperial paraphernalia such as flags, ornamental umbrellas, and fans. Translation responsively. My devotee becomes unconquerable by meditating on my opulent incarnations, which are decorated with Sri Vatsa and various weapons, and are endowed with imperial paraphernalia such as flags, ornamental umbrellas, and fans. Purport. The imperial paraphernalia of the Lord's opulent incarnations indicate His omnipotency, and the devotees become unconquerable by meditating on the Lord's powerful, royally equipped incarnations. As stated by Bilwa Mangala Thakur in Krishna Karnamrit, verse 107, Bhakti Stvai Sthira Tara Bhagavan Yadi Syad Daivena Naha Falati Divya Kishore Murti Mukti Swayam Mukulit Anjali Sevate Asman Dharmartha Kama Gataya Samaya Pratikshaha. My dear Lord, if we develop unflinching devotional service unto You, then automatically Your transcendental youthful form is revealed to us. Thus liberation herself waits with folded hands to serve us, and the ultimate goal of religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification patiently wait to render service to us. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we are almost reaching the end of this chapter, description of mystic yoga perfections. So in this chapter, as we have heard in the last few days, that so many different kinds of mystic perfections have been described. They are the 8 primary mystic siddhis, then there are the 10 secondary, and 5 inferior mystic potencies. So this one, becoming unconquerable, and the previous verse, how the body of a yogi cannot be injured by water, fire, sun, poison. So these are like the inferior potencies which a yogi acquires. So we understand that actually, as His Holiness Yadunandana Maharaj was describing, that in this world everything is a mystic potency. You know, whatever we see happening around us is mystic. Like, even so many things happening in our own body, we cannot conceive how it is taking place. And like Prabhupada gives the example of how you feed a cow grass, it gives milk. So this is actually inconceivable, this is mystic. But because we see these things all the time, so we are quite used to it. And so the phenomena which we don't see very often, you know, we call that as mystic. So, you know, the 8 kinds of mystic potencies were described: anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, and so on and so forth. These are very elevated mystic perfections. But actually, Krishna is called Yogeshwara. It's the master of mystic opulence. Actually, all these mystic perfections, they originate from Krishna. Krishna is the source of them. And this is also confirmed by Lord Brahma. As we understand from the Brahma Vimohana Leela, when Krishna was present on this planet 5,000 years ago, enacting his pastimes, so Krishna was having a picnic with his friends. So, and on the banks of the river Yamuna. And they had left the calves loose so they can, you know, drink the water and they can graze on the fresh grass. So, and so Krishna was having lunch with his cowherd boyfriends. And so the cows strolled into the forest. So the cowherd boys wanted to look for the calves. But Krishna said, "No, I don't want you to interrupt your lunch. You enjoy your lunch. I will go and look for the calves." So Krishna went into the forest with the lump of food in his left hand. So it described it was a preparation, some rice preparation made with yogurt. So Krishna walked into the forest and started searching for the calves, you know, as if he didn't know where they were. So, you know, Brahma was observing all of this, and he was thinking, he wanted to actually test the power of Krishna. He wanted to test the personal power. So he thought, I'll take away the calves and the cowherd boys and store them in a cave and put them under my mystic spell. And he did that, and then Brahma thought, after 1 second, he came back. His 1 second was 1 year. And 1 year of our duration time. So he thought, hang on a second, I'm playing with fire. You know, this is my Lord. How can I, you know, because I'm playing with fire, maybe I should go back and see. So when he went back, he saw actually that the cowherd boys and calves were present. You know, Krishna was still having, you know, lunch with his cowherd boys, and the cows were there. And he got bewildered that what is this happening? And then, even as we know, that Krishna revealed himself. He revealed the Vishnu Murtis. And Krishna had actually assumed the forms of all the cowherd boys and the calves and the exact qualities and characteristics. Like each of us is an individual. We have certain qualities. We act in a certain way. Our body is formed in a certain way. So by Krishna's mystic opulence, he assumed the forms of all the cowherd boys in all the castes and all the characteristics. And so when Brahma saw this, he was actually very bewildered. So he could not figure out what is happening with his four heads. And because he could not figure out, so you know, Krishna took compassion on him, because he was actually getting bewildered by his own mystic potency. So Krishna took compassion on him and revealed the cowherd boys and calves. So then Lord Brahma offered so many prayers in glorification of the Lord, and he mentions that actually he says that he overestimated himself, and he said that he gave the example of just like if you test a nuclear weapon, you know, in a city, it can cause a lot of destruction. But if you test a nuclear weapon on the sun, it won't have, you know, it's just like a firecracker. You know, there's not much because the sun is the origin of all potency as compared to the nuclear weapon. So Krishna is the origin of all mystic potency, and Brahma's mystic potency is very, very insignificant. But because Brahma is in charge of this material universe, he's the topmost living entity, and he's got, you can say, the highest level of mystic perfection. But in comparison to Krishna, that is actually insignificant. Because as we know, there's so many Brahmas, there's not only one Brahma. Every universe has a Brahma. So that is actually very, very insignificant. And he said that it is like testing a weapon on the sun. That won't have any effect. And he gives the example of like a glowworm. A glowworm can, at night it can show its potency by glowing. But in the daytime, a glowworm has no potency. One cannot even see the light emanating. Or he gave the example of snow. Snow glitters in the daytime. The snow glitters, but at night it doesn't. So Brahma compared his mystic perfection like that in front of Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all mystic perfections. And as is mentioned in this verse, that my devotee becomes unconquerable by meditating on my opulent incarnations, which are decorated with Sri Vatsa and various weapons, and are endowed with imperial paraphernalia, such as flags, ornamental umbrellas, and fans. So it's interesting that a devotee, one who has developed pure devotion unto the Lord, he actually becomes unconquerable. But we see, you know, what does actually unconquerable mean to a devotee? And Srila Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar Devotion that there are actually three kinds of happiness: material, spiritual, and devotional happiness. So for a devotee, the test is material happiness and the desire to become one with the Lord. These are like great impediments unto one's devotional service. So we devotees, this is the test for us. We get conquered by these things. So like material opulence, in other words, sense gratification, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshashtaka prayers: Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagat ishya kamaye, mama janmani janmarishvare bhavatad bhakti rahi tukitvai. That the desire for wealth, number of followers, and attraction to the opposite sex, these are great impediments. This is actually material enjoyment. So this is a great impediment for one progressing in spiritual life. And also the desire to become one with the Lord. that is also considered to be an impediment. So material enjoyment means desire for liberation is basically the extension of material enjoyment, because material enjoyment means to, as Srila Prabhupada describes, to become the topmost person. Just like we see in all activities, people are trying to be the topmost, to become the Lord of all this survey. So, desire for liberation is like, one doesn't want the material distress, but one wants to become great unlimitedly. So that's why they want to become one with the Lord. That in that way they are God. So these are actually great impediments. It is said that desire for liberation is the last snare of the illusory energy. So, but for a devotee who has actually developed pure devotion unto the Supreme Lord, he is not conquered by these two things. That's what it means by he becomes unconquerable. So Srila Rupa Goswami describes that bhukti and mukti is like the spell of a witch, like a witch casts a magic spell. So bhukti and mukti, material enjoyment and a desire for liberation, is like the spell of a witch. And also there are great instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many examples of devotees who have actually developed a taste for the glories of the Lord. They're not attracted by these things at all. As we can see from the fifth canto, King Bharat described, he had developed so much taste for hearing the glories of the Lord, rendering devotional service, that he easily gave up his wife, children, relatives, his opulent palace, all his riches, and you know, so he was very easily able to renounce this. And the goddess of fortune was personally rendering him benedictions, but he did not want any of them. And Shukdev Goswami very much praised this. So this is the sign of a devotee; he's not attracted to any of these things. And also we see the Atmaram verse in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes that an Atmaram devotee who is actually materially liberated, he becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So this proves the point that if he has no material desires, then how would he have attraction towards Srimad Bhagavatam or towards the devotional service of the Lord? Because this is actually not material. If it were material, he would have no attraction for this. Example is the four Kumaras, how they became devotees. They smelled the aroma from the tulsi leaves which were on the lotus feet of the Lord, and they became devotees. So Shukdev Goswami himself was a liberated soul from his birth. But he heard the glories of the Lord, he heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and he became a devotee. So this proves the point that actually, that devotional service is actually much beyond all of this. It is not actually material. And also Maharaj Prithu in the fourth canto, he mentions chapter 20, text number 24, that he says, if I get liberation, if I take liberation, and if I don't get the chance to hear the glories of the Lord, then he says, what's the use of that? He says, you know, I'd rather take birth and have millions of tongues and millions of ears so I can actually glorify the Lord. Because In liberation, it is like losing one's identity, and they do not conceive the transcendental form of the Lord. So how can they hear and chant about the Lord? And in the liberated state, because there is no glorification of the Lord, you know, there is no bliss. That's why they have to come down eventually. And also, as we'll see in the 20th chapter of this canto, Krishna will describe to Uddhava that a devotee has no material desires. That he does not even have desire, you know, like people have so many material desires. So many products are out there. Desire for nice food, clothing, you know, so many consumer products. Mundane society, friendship, this is material happiness. And then there's liberation. So Krishna says the devotee has no desire for that. He does not even have desire to attain the mystic perfections, which we heard in this chapter, which are 18 plus 5, 23. So he has no desire for any of them. So we can actually see what is the position of a devotee. So it's so elevated. And also, a devotee does not have any desire for any of the five kinds of liberation. So, we know the five kinds of liberation are desire to become one with the Lord and to live on the same planet, to have the same body as the Lord, same features, to have the same opulences as the Supreme Lord, and to have this personal association with the Lord. So, the desire of a pure devotee is to... It's just to render service, because his constitutional position is to render service unto the Supreme Lord. So he does not desire any of these five kinds of liberation. So he just renders service, and whatever the Lord awards him, he accepts it. And of course, as for us, as we are in the sadhana stage, which means we are not on the pure devotee platform, but we have material desires, but because we have accepted the process of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then if we follow the process sincerely, then eventually we can actually overcome the material desires and develop a pure desire to serve Krishna. And so this month, being December, is a very special month. This is the month of the book marathon, Srila Prabhupada's famous book marathon. And this month is a very good opportunity to give others the opportunity to render devotional service by engaging others in rendering devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very pleased. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased if devotees distributed his books in so many different ways. And because when people read the books, they directly come in contact with Krishna. And these books are not ordinary books. They're very, very, as we know, they're very, very powerful books. And because these books are written by Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee of Krishna, they have a lot of potency. So, and Prabhupada wrote them in such a way that a common man can understand them. So this month, we can take the special opportunity to actually distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Of course, we can do this in every month of the year, but this month is special, because this is the Christmas time, and in Christmas, people have a tendency to spend. Like in India, there is Diwali. So at that time, everyone is giving, you know, by giving gifts to each other, doing shopping. So people are in a mood to spend. So Srila Prabhupada very cleverly, how do you say? This is like a transcendental plot, you know. So you can, Srila Prabhupada very cleverly is engaging people. So because people are in a giving mood, so if we present them Krishna consciousness, these books, so, and if we present it in an enthusiastic way, and if we try our best to glorify the book, they are willing to give the money. And by distribution, actually, Srimad Bhagavatam also says that distribution of Shastra is the best charity you can do. We see there are so many different kinds of charities around. If you're distributing books on Swanson Street or anywhere else, you see there's so many charities. They all are related to the body. But actually this charity of knowledge is actually goes deep within. It is to the soul and ultimately to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada he emphasized a lot on distributing his hardcover books because they actually last for a very long time. And so we have so many books, Science of Self-Realization, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book. And if we take this opportunity to actually give it to others, and we also make a lot of advancement in this process. Because Krishna is very, very pleased when we are giving someone this gift of knowledge. And you come across so many people, and they ask so many different kinds of questions. And it's actually a very, very good opportunity to preach very directly, because they actually know who you are. There's nothing to hide, whether you're going in karmi clothes or devotee clothes, because the moment they see the books, then they know who you are. So it's a very good opportunity to preach directly to them. And sometimes, like, some devotees ask, should we preach directly or indirectly? Actually, it doesn't matter. You know, you can actually just say anything. If you say with a lot of confidence and enthusiasm, they become eager to buy the book. Because if you're glorifying Krishna, then Krishna within their heart, you know, influences them to buy the book. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions, comments.
Yes, one brother. Comment that you said, only on Sunday, you were going to meet money, and the chair was collecting money for the meet, and just cleaning the big screen. So that means you're open to the Hare Krishna.
You said to
how
him.
How much, yeah.
Okay.
So how much people are getting the mercy from Srila Prabhupada?
Yes.
They know Hare Krishna so well. My one other question is, can you tell us something for Srivas? Some details of Srivas, the importance of
details of Srivatsa. My understanding is Srivatsa is the hair on the chest of the Lord. And it's my understanding the goddess of fortune resides there. So that's my knowledge, limited. Anyone else has any add any points on that?
Any other points? Yes.
I just heard
are directly under protection of Krishna. So even Brahma can't touch that. So whatever Brahma took was the fusion of everything. So there was like three sets of everything. Brahma just took the vision one, and Krishna saved the vision one from the himself only, and then he expanded himself into the other one. So just want to confirm that.
I'm not aware of that. He's saying that in the Brahma Vimohana Leela, that actually the cowherd boys and calves are under the direct protection of the Lord, so they cannot be actually saying they cannot be touched by Lord Brahma. And the calves and the cowherd boys which Lord Brahma stole were the illusory ones, not the real ones. So that's what he's commenting. Yes, my baby. I haven't read that in the Krishna book, so I don't know. Any other questions? Comments? Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.